Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, a weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to our fourth... Welcome to our 14th episode of True Believers. Last episode, we followed up with a part two of our recap and a review of the Disney Plus series, What If? And this week, we are going to be going over the DC Festival of Heroes, the Asian Superhero Celebration, and Green Lantern Legacy by Min Lay and Andy Tong.
Today is Vietnamese Women's Day, and it seemed like the perfect time to talk about my favorite comic of 2020. So, Andrew, Green Lantern Legacy, did you like it?
I liked Green Lantern Legacy. I actually enjoyed it way more than I thought I would, which I think I've said before on your suggestions, but this one was actually really good. It told such a concise story so quickly.
I think that part of that is that it's made for children. I mean, the premise for everybody who's not in the know, if you're not gang, 13-year-old Ty Pham lives in the apartment above his grandmother's store, where his bedroom is crammed with sketch pads and comic books. But not even the most imaginative drawings could compare to the colorful adventure he's about to embark on. When Ty inherits his grandmother's jade ring, he soon finds out it's more than it appears. Suddenly, he's being inducted into a group of space cops known as the Green Lantern. His neighborhood is being overrun by some racist bullies, and every time he puts pen to paper, he's forced to confront that he might not be creative enough or strong enough to uphold his boss's legacy. Now Ty must decide what kind of hero he wants to be. Will he learn to soar above his insecurities, or will the past keep him grounded? So, Green Lantern Legacy, it really is about legacy, and I feel like that's the most important part of DC Comics. Like, DC Comics invented... the power superhero, you know, with Superman, like, he was number one. And then with every legacy hero that comes after, it cements the legacy of those original superheroes. And with Green Lantern, especially because they're all a team and there's so many of them.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
As we saw in this comic, it was amazing.
It was really good. This one also did continue the legacy of his ba, his grandma. And because, okay, so the whole thing starts off and he's just... They're in their little shop. What is it called? The Jade Market, I think. I think that's what it's called.
I don't remember. But they're in the store, and all of a sudden, his grandmother's like, her spider senses start tingling. And then somebody throws a brick through their window, and you're sitting there like, what the hell? Because this is a children's... This is for kids. This is a middle grade-ish comic. So I'm like, what?
And this is in Central City, too, which is kind of like a big city in the DC universe.
The way I was like, Flash, where you at?
Right, where were you?
Where were you when they was terrorizing this poor Asian family?
But even before they threw the brick in the window, he's drawn his grandma and she goes, catch my good side. And she does like a little side panel thing.
And she hits you with the ultimate superhero pose, like with the ring out.
And
you
can tell. She had the ring on. Which at this
point, she stays strapped.
How did you not know that that's a Green Lantern ring though? Because everybody just kind of ignores it.
I guess that most people probably haven't seen one up close. Like they know that he wears a ring. But I guess unless you've seen the ring, you probably wouldn't know.
That's true. Because grandma... What was her name? Tran, I think?
Yeah, her name's Kim Tran.
Kim Tran, yeah. So Grandma Kim Tran is like, she doesn't use her powers ever except for complete necessity. That's her whole thing. So I guess they just kind of didn't put it together. Maybe they just thought it was a prop. I don't know.
Maybe they just thought she was an old lady and it was a jade ring.
Maybe, but I mean, it's very clearly a Green Lantern's ring. Either way, it's really cute. So it kind of gives you like a point of what's going to happen at this point. Because within the next five pages or so, she dies.
And, like, the ring just comes to him in the night, like, and he keeps trying to give it back, because it literally hits him in the face.
Yeah, it knocks on his door. I was like, okay.
Is it?
I know, his ring wasn't knocking.
And then she's like, oh, well, I guess the ring has chosen you now. I was like, damn, so his grandmother's about to die.
I know. And he's like, what do you mean this ring chose me? And then he just goes to sleep, and the next morning she's dead.
Like, he's like,
So that shit was sad. It started off kind of strong here, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because this is the first 10 pages or whatever.
I don't know. And that really sets the tone. Like, when he follows the ring, the ring's natural trajectory back to the battery, the actual lantern, he gets transported to Oa and he meets his Green Lantern mentor, who is my favorite Green Lantern.
It's Jon Stewart.
Woo-hoo.
I like that, because I didn't know who it was going to be, honestly. Because, you know, sometimes in stories like this, it's someone completely random that you've never heard of. But it was Jon Stewart, which is everybody's favorite.
I mean, usually on the training, though, I heard it was usually Kilowog.
It's usually Kilowog, but in these legacy story, or not legacy, what are these called? Like these little one-off things that they do?
don't know. They're books for kids. And it's not a one-off, actually. The sequel's coming out next year.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Come on. Min Lay, who wrote this, is friends with my old English teacher, Miss Cheka. And she was like, I tweeted about how much I really liked the book last year. And she was like, my friend wrote that. And I was like, girl, not that I thought she was lying, but I was like, who don't you know? And then he interacted with me on Twitter. It was weird.
But so this one was really, so what happens after that? So he's on Owa now, which is really nice. I love whenever they're on Owa. Mm-hmm. I think Owa's always drawn so well.
And it's so beautiful. And then his grandmother's spirit comes to him and she's like telling him, like, the ring chose you. Like, he's like, she starts talking about her time in leaving Vietnam and coming over on the boat and how she knew using her powers would make her family or put them in jeopardy.
And then there's a flashback of when, because she leaves Vietnam in the middle of the Vietnam War. Obviously, you know, you want to leave at that point. Makes sense. So she's on the boat and the boat's getting kind of fucked up in the water. And you see her in costume about like 50 years younger. And it was amazing.
First of all, Grandma Slade.
She did.
The braid. Because she has
a braid.
I really like that they had more culturally significant costumes. Even Ty, when he starts, his first Green Lantern outfit after he John takes him to the dark side of the moon.
Yeah. First of all, this kid is 13, so I guess he's one of the younger Green Lanterns
ever. First of
all,
and the way that John was like, hello, Ty fam, Green Lantern of Earth. I am, you are a kid.
And then he has to get the council to...
He literally hopped on the phone expeditiously and was like, yeah, he's 13.
13.
Mm-hmm, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, see, I still don't like whenever you put kids in situations like that. That's just my own personal thing.
I don't, but I feel like they are not... I feel like the Guardians, the Green Lantern Corps, I don't feel like they're allowing this to happen. I think this is a book for kids. And I think because he has the power of the Green Lantern ring, he's allowed to be a Green Lantern. He's part of the Corps, but I feel like, no.
Well, even Ilande comes in later on, the queen of wherever she is. I don't remember. But she comes in later on and she's talking to him and she goes, so, you know, Sinestro was a Green Lantern, whatever, whatever.
She turned evil. The skinny on the whole order.
And then she's like, so your grandma was one of the best defenders of Earth and now you're going to have to be a defender of Earth. And I was like, against Sinestro? You cannot put this 13-year-old. Yeah. I was like, I don't think y'all understand. She's like, John Stewart's going to need your help. I was like, he's going to have to find help somewhere else, not with this kid. Give him like eight more years.
First of all, how many other Green Lancers live on this planet? We got Guy Gardner.
There's about 30.
We got Kyle Rayner. Joe from Far Sector. I know there's a Teen Lantern. Alan Scott's kids. They're not Green Lanterns, but they sound light. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know what I'm expecting to see from the sequel to this. We already had a little dust up with the Yellow Lanterns. We had some talk about gentrification, about racism, about what it means to be your own kind of hero. And I really appreciated all of it. And I feel like it was really well, like everything was laid out well for both a children's book and a Green Lantern story. Mm-hmm. And just, it was a solid DC comic story about family and legacy, which I thought was really cool. And I really liked that when he gets his first costume from Ilande, she was like, okay, you're good. This is your Lantern uniform. He was like, oh, this is horrible. And then
said, this shit is tight. I can't be wearing this.
He was like, said, oh, yes. You humans with your slang. It is very
She said it is tight. Like,
it was giving Starfire vibes where she's like, oh yes, Robin, it is the tight.
It was giving us moving to the UK trying to figure out how to speak English here vibes.
It was giving, yes, I would like a packet of quote unquote crisps.
It's really good though. So she has a funeral after she dies, and then there's some billionaire that shows up. Can't remember what his name was.
Xander Griffith? Was it Griffin or Griffith?
Either way.
It didn't matter. It was a blonde white man. And I was like, what? Because everybody is literally at this funeral talking about how great his grandmother is. And they're like, yeah, when we came over from Vietnam, we had nothing. And we were scared and we were alone in our apartment. And she shows over with pots and bowls and chopsticks and food.
Yes.
And she's like, it was like a Vietnam right here. And like,
she was helping all the neighbors that also moved into the equivalent of New York, basically. Basically what it was. This was their melting pot type of thing.
Not a major metropolitan area, but a place where people live.
So the whole point was she was giving like Vietnamese supplies to like the new Vietnamese neighbors that moved in. So everybody like felt a little special with Gran, you know? not special in a gross way, because that sounds kind of gross.
Yeah, you phrased that weird.
Everyone had a personal relationship with Graham.
Yeah, so they... I'm sorry, I'm stuck on the way you phrased that. No, it's just the whole point was that she was kind to everybody. And, like, it really highlighted, like with what we were talking about in the Superman World of War, where I said it was not the powers that made him Superman. And I was very adamant about that. That's the same way I feel about his grandmother.
Yeah, she barely used her powers.
That was until it came time to kick Sinestro's raggedy red ass. But I feel like stories like this, I became really concerned a couple years ago, like when we were leaving high school. Oh, God, that was a long time. That comic books as like a hobby or like a love would die off with how popular like the superhero movies are, and how I felt like sales were going down. I don't know. And it made me like, just because comic books are not good anymore, I was worried that the next generation really wouldn't have a place to jump in with all of the like reboots, the revisions, people dying, people coming back to life. I felt like without having a solid basis on that, there was no way that people could break in. And I feel like something like Green Lantern Legacy is an excellent starting point.
It is. Because you don't have to know a lot about this, anything, really.
Because they literally, since it's a kid's book, they told you everything. They were like, this guy, Sinestro, he made this yellow ring. The yellow ring uses fear. The green ring uses will. No pun intended. Ty Fam was raised by the power of will.
Yeah.
If you're a Justin Bieber fan.
Yeah, no, it explains everything in this. It is very easy to just pick up and continue reading. Or even start reading. Just nothing to continue.
I mean, yeah.
It's the only story.
And then, speaking of places where it's easy to just jump in at, I feel like stuff like Festival Heroes, the Asian DC celebration thing, I think little anthology stories are good like that. They're like a good sampler of kind of all of the heroes that we have available, you know, that you might like. Mm-hmm. Cute little stories where you're like, oh, I might jump in. I like this character now. This is cool. Like, they introduced the Monkey King for the first time. The Monkey Prince.
The Monkey Prince, yeah.
He was very serious about this. No, the Monkey Prince is the son of the Monkey King from Journey to the West. Like, you've probably seen him in various forms of media. But it's a new comic book character. But it's the same. It's the son of that Monkey King. The one that you know.
Oh.
The one that everybody knows. So how do you feel about Festival of Heroes?
Festival of Heroes I liked for the most part. There were some of them I just wasn't feeling. Because this is, like you just said, an anthology series that had a bunch of just different characters doing different things. Some of them were only like 2 pages. Some of them were like 7, you know. Mm-hmm. Just kind of depends. So overall, I enjoyed it. Which one was your favorite one?
Oh, my favorite one.
Which one was my favorite one? So we don't have time to talk about all of them.
I would say my favorite one was the Cassandra Cain story. Or the one about Ty Fam. Or Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow.
And yeah. I love Connor Hawk. I'm so glad that he gets to be black again. Because remember when we were little kids, he was actually black. Mm-hmm. And then for a while, he was like a white man. And we were all confused because, like, how are you black, Korean, and white? And then you're white now. And now he's black again. So
now he's black, Korean, white.
With his blonde hair.
Yeah. He even says that. He says, I'm Blasian at some point.
He said, I'm black. I'm Asian. Blasian. I even got a white dad.
That one was good. Because that one was just, he was just trying to get home with his groceries.
He just had his kimchi.
And then Superman falls out of the sky, but not Clark Kent, Superman.
Clark Kenan from the new Superman, the Superman of, I don't know if he's the Superman of Hong Kong or the Superman of Asia as a whole. I think Hong Kong specifically, because I think there's a Hong Kong Justice League, but I'm not 100% certain. That will be in the notes. I did some brief research into that because I knew New Kenan was like a thing, but I don't read that. So I was just like, oh, I don't like Superman offshoots, literally, unless it's Connor Kent.
Yeah, he's basically a Superman that got, what was it, put into like a stasis type of thing. I don't really remember. But Superman is dead at this point, so he kind of takes all of Superman's DNA.
And they use Superman's DNA to give him powers because he rescued somebody or something.
So that's what this Superman is. That was a very bad explanation of him. What happened.
He's a solid character, and I think a team up with Green Arrow is sweet. They end up fighting a monster. Green Arrow is pissed because he's just trying to get home with his kimchi, and like he literally has it wrapped in a bag. So I'm thinking he's on a superhero quest.
I know, he kept calling it the package. I was like,
oh, what's he delivering? Package is secured. Oh, okay. I was like, what's in the package?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Which was another episode. In this series, it was titled "What's in the Box."
Was it really?
Yeah, it was with Cassandra and somebody else. And Cassandra had a box, and then what was in the box was just dumplings.
Oh, period. Yeah, I like that one. You know, I live for a Cassandra Cain story, and I thought it was cool that the variant cover of the Festival of Heroes, it just features Cassandra Cain, as they should. Cassandra Cain should come all the way back to the mainstream. She's never been featured in a live-action Batman anything. And remember when they rebooted the New 52 and they had a party? Like, and then all the Waynes were there. And it was, like, Dick Jason, Bruce, Tim, and Damian. And I was like, where's Cassandra? And then they were like, oh, Cassandra, you're not in this episode. She's not part of the family anymore. Like, then she started going by Orphan. And I was like, let's pump the brakes, pal, because we don't do that around here. It's bad enough they made her the leader of the League of Assassins. I've never forgotten that. I've never been over it. I've never liked that.
But so back to the Connor Hawke story.
Yeah.
Connor Hawke, so Superman falls out of the sky, and basically Connor says some stupid shit before them, like, if something was to fall out of the sky right now, then all of a sudden Superman hits hard right in front of him.
And he's like, damn. But he actually picks up his package, and he's like, oop. And then he's like, oh, here, this must be important. He said, like, something like, oh, this must be...
He said, oh, like, a package. This is important or something around there.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, give me my shit back.
And then suddenly there's a giant fucking metal dragon thing in this
So they are, like, fighting the dragon. And Connor is really... He's doing a good job because, you know, he's more... He's better for... Green Arrow, they're for the streets. You know what I'm saying? Be on the street.
He hasn't got superpowers. He just knows how to shoot an arrow. Very well. But that's all he can do.
You got a bow and arrow. You need to be on the street.
You don't need to be fighting this dragon.
Yeah,
but that's basically what Superman is saying to him. He's like, this is my fight.
He's so cocky. He's like, you clean up the ground. He's like, he's missing opportunities. And like, he almost gets attacked. And Connor's like, oh, I got this with my three arrows in a row, period. No, all jokes aside, it's just fun. They defeat the dragon and... He tries to go home without his kimchi, and his family is like, boy, but...
They were pretty nice about it. They were like, oh, we saw it on the news, but then grandma was like,
I really wanted that kimchi.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Superman knocks on the door, and he's like, here, I know you dropped your kimchi, so I flew all the way to China and got you...
Something that's not kimchi.
Something that's not quite kimchi, and...
Because he looked when it fell on the ground. Oh, because it broke.
Yeah.
And splattered on the ground. He was like, oh no, our table, it's broken. And from there, he was like, well, damn. It like literally happens at the most inopportune time. I don't even think it happens during the battle.
Oh, like it happened towards the end of the battle. Like,
or it's either towards the end or towards the beginning. It's at like a part where it's like, what? He's sitting there looking at his kimchi on the floor, and he's like, oh, that smells like this. And then he's like, well, it's not. And he's like, oh, so are you Asian? And he was like, something, oh, it reminds me of this, which is a Chinese dish. And he was like, well, in this instance, I'm Korean, and that's kimchi. So he's really not trying to be friends with Superman. Mm-hmm. And he's like...
So when Superman knocks on the door at the end,
he's like, thank you. And then he was about to close the door, and he was like, okay, well, I guess I'll probably just go, because the city's calmed down, but... Okay, well...
He's sitting there, like, beating around the bush, basically, like, well, I mean, I don't have friends on this side of the world, but, like, I guess I can go.
I'll probably go to, like, an all 24-hour diner, you know? And then he's like, do you want to come in? He's
like, yeah! Yeah, and then they all have dinner together. And then the mom or auntie's like, you know, it's not kimchi, but this is pretty good.
And he's like, you know, if you... And they're like, oh, why don't you wear red like him? Look how good he looks. Look how good this nice Chinese boy looks in red. And he's like... Jeez, like, let me sit in my orange and green outfit dressed like a carrot with my blonde ass hair.
This one was kind of in the middle of the book, but it kind of sets the tone for all the stories, because all the stories were kind of cute. Like, it starts off with the Cassandra Cain story, which was adorable. The whole premise of this one is that Cassandra was taught not to really speak so much, and that her actions will speak louder than her words, quite literally. So the whole time.
That's a weird phrasing. You could have just said she was taught to read body language.
No, her actions speak louder than words.
That's horrible.
That's exactly what it is.
You really just made a dad joke in the middle of our episode.
It's exactly what it was. Because she doesn't have to speak. But no, she is taught to read body language.
She's
learning how to
talk, and she's sitting there, like, literally looking into a mirror, practicing sounds with her mouth, and she ends up on a case. She's trying to find this Dr. Chin guy who is doing genetic research. He gets kidnapped, and so she beats up all the kidnappers and releases him. He's super cute.
Mm-hmm. The art in this one was really, really good, because they're all different artists, but this one was really good. I don't have it written down who it was, but we can put that in the notes, too, so whatever.
It was so cute. And
it was really cute because
she went to the boba shop and he literally is like a chatterbox. He's trying to talk to her as bad girl and she's sitting there with like her full body outfit, yeah. Like staring at him like.
Yeah, when she saves him, he's like, hey, you want to get boba after this? That was really cool of you saving me. And then she doesn't say anything back. She just stares at him.
But she goes to the boba restaurant and she follows him there, but in her civilian outfit. And he's like, oh my God, you guys' banana boba is the best. I love boba, blah, 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 blah. So happy to be alive and not kidnapped. And he walks out and then he's like, oh, damn, I forgot my straw. But guess what?
Cassandra had a straw.
A second straw. She's highly observant. And then he's like, when I tell you this man's talking up a storm, he's like, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, you're welcome.
And she's so proud of herself when she says, you're welcome. And it's so cute.
As she should. She's the best.
That one panel, when she says, you're welcome, everything's like bright colors around her and like her face is all lit up. I was like, this is adorable.
Listen, I was like, as you should. And she says words, you know, I'll master you yet or you will be mine. And Cassandra works so hard and she, like, it's everything she deserves. First of all, being featured first, being literally the cover girl, it's what she deserves.
And it was the very first story, like you said, it was good.
And she had two stories, because the second one with the box with the dumplings.
What's in the box? Who was she even talking to? I think it was just a stranger, wasn't it?
No, somebody remember. Was, I don't remember who it was, but they were like, whatever Damien said, you ignore him, he's an idiot. And I was like, true. First of all, how do y'all be letting Damien get under your skin? He's like 12.
Damien had a good story in this one too. Damien with the pizza man.
Yeah.
That one was so funny.
The funniest part was that he ate the pizza. Like the unpoint. Okay, so the plot of it was that Batman was like, hey, you know, Damien, you can take it. I have to answer all these Justice League emails. And there's a case coming up about.
Bruce is sitting in the Batcave and he's like, I have to answer all these Justice League emails.
I hate budgets.
I was like, what the fuck? It was very. I don't know what the word is. It was funny as fuck, I can tell you that.
The funniest part was that he was like, oh yeah, hate budgeting. Anyway, Damien, I got this case about some pizza people who keep getting killed assassin style. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah.
It's pizza delivery people. And that's who it was.
He was like, yeah, so you can take the night off. Spend the night with your friends. But Damien is like, no, I don't have any.
Not even that. Damien was excited to go figure out a
jokes aside.
Detectiveness.
Damien has more friends, I feel like, than any of his siblings.
I mean, yeah. Not Dick, that's for sure. Because
Dick's got the found family.
Yeah.
And then Tim's got the Young Justice as well, so yeah. No, I shouldn't sleep on them. But Damien has like actual friends who don't superhero.
Yeah. So he just goes to solve this pizza delivery case, which is funny as fuck, because what the hell? It's the League of Assassins that are just assassinating pizza delivery people.
I'm trying so hard not to say this, but their idea was so stupid. The plan was to poison Gotham City through pizza delivery. They had to kill all the pizza delivery drivers. And here's the thing. They were waiting on some poison to come from League of Assassins headquarters so they could begin poisoning the pizza. But they hadn't got it yet, so they were just preemptively taking out all the pizza men. And here's the part, the kicker. Like, so he beats the shit out of all the assassins, right? And he eats the pizza, and he's like, oh, this tastes like shit, even without the poison.
He's just sitting on top of all these beat-ass ninjas, assassins. He's like, this tastes like shit.
Sitting on top of them, like, eating the pizza, like, it tastes like shit.
This wasn't, like, a Pizza Hut or a Dom. This was, like, a hole-in-the-wall pizza place that they were like, we're gonna poison all of Gotham. Like, what kind of fucking plot is that?
He was like, what were they supposed to do, take over a friggin' Bat pizza franchise?
Yeah, probably.
Pizza Bat?
You only deliver, like, 1 to 2 pizzas at a time. Like, how are you gonna kill all of Gotham? That's so ridiculous. It was a good story, though. It was another one that was really short, but it was good. It was cute. Damien, so, because he says something, he's like,
He's like, I'm more cunning than any of my brothers and siblings. I'm more merciless than my grandfather.
I was like, you're more merciless than your grandfather? He's like, you know who he is, right?
Your grandfather's been, first of all, that would be like Shang-Chi trying to say he was more merciless than his dad. Your dad's been alive for 1,000 years.
Killing people. That's all he did. That's all he does. Period. That part was funny as shit. 13-year-old Damien's more merciless than Ra's al Ghul.
First of all, he said he was more merciful than his siblings. That was the thing. He said he was more cunning than, I think, his parents and more merciful than his siblings.
He dropped each of them by name. He said, my mom, I'm more something than my mom. I'm more like, something than my grandfather.
But meanwhile, while he's doing this, he's literally sitting up. Mind if I use your knee?
You can go for it. I'm more merciless. Punching him in the face.
No, not even just punching. He always has a sword.
I know,
Rod. You don't even carry a safety sword. Like, you could have a wooden sword or something. Like, you literally have full blade out. How have you not? Don't let Jason be pretending to be Batman while this fool is Robin. They don't need to be out at the same time. Because Batman and Robin will carve up Cry Valley. Because clearly, neither one of them knows the meaning of what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, Damien's got it. He said, I'm going to kill all the bad people.
But so did Jason.
I don't see what's wrong with that.
Personally, I feel like if you kill a killer, the amount of killers in the world is still the same. But if you kill two killers...
Mm-hmm. Now you're one less killer. You're still a killer, but you know what? You're still down the bad ones. I don't know. Is there... Yeah, definitely. Like, the Joker should die. The Riddler needs to die. Tortures people.
Yeah.
And then kills them.
I love the Riddler. The Penguin should probably die for unethical business practices. Not even because of anything he does as a supervillain.
Everything he does is just wrong.
Who else should die? Mr. Freeze. I feel like Mr. Freeze wants to save his wife.
Yeah, he should be left alone. Poison Ivy needs to be left alone. She doesn't do nothing wrong.
All she does is hate men and, like, moot. Harley Quinn... Yeah. I don't think she needs to be on the streets, but I don't think she needs to die.
I think she needs to go straight to Arkham and be left there. They'll need to leave this bitch in there.
No, I don't think she needs to go to Arkham. She needs to go to a credible mental health facility.
Fair. Let's send her to, like...
Now, Scarecrow, death immediately.
I want to keep him alive just because he's funny as fuck.
So you want to kill the Riddler, but you want to leave the Scarecrow.
The Scarecrow's funny.
First of all, that man's going to be having a whole ass bag on his head. He's like the headless horseman of Gotham.
Some of them are pretty cool. What if they put like the Scarecrow in this new Batman movie? I could see it.
You know what?
After watching that trailer, this one was like very much dark as
I didn't watch the trailer. I pretty much slept through.
See what I did there? These dad jokes are coming. Dark as night? Yeah, I did. Dark as night. These dad jokes are coming in strong, y'all.
I'm trying so hard to pinch you, but I can't with my nails.
What was the whole point of that? We had a point that we were talking about, and then I got distracted.
Who should die?
Who should die? Who else should die? Who else is a villain? Bane. Bane needs to be dead.
Well, I don't know. Bane could be very sexy.
Two-Face.
Two-Face was also Billy Dee Williams at one point.
Should also die.
Yeah, I mean, white Two-Face should die, but black Two-Face, since he never became Two-Face, I think Harvey Dent is okay.
Harvey Dent was okay.
Like,
he had a little bit of questionable practices. Two-Face
is the one that is, like, sad, because, like, Harvey Dent was really just, like, an up-and-coming politician. Like, he was just trying to make things better for Gotham, and all of a sudden his face gets blown off, and he's like, he gotta flip a coin to live now. That sucks. Roman Sionis.
I get that one, though.
Black Mask, he gotta go. Victor's ass, gotta go.
Both of them together gotta go.
Gotta go, gotta go.
Especially if it's the Birds of Prey version of them. They can just go together.
Sorry to kill you, Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
You're my only hope.
You know who doesn't need to go, though? Calendar Man. That one can stay. What is he doing?
Now, who needs to go? The friggin', what is that
guy? Is it the Mad Hatter?
Yeah!
Because he needs to go.
I was like, who's the one that kidnaps those girls?
He and gotta go. Dresses them like up like Alice? That gotta go. Crazy. Gotta go. He's gotta go.
Death, immediately.
See, okay, the whole point is, like, Damien and Jason, they might be onto something.
Almost all of Gotham City is a pit. Like, when they were gonna nuke Gotham City... Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that wasn't worst plan. I kind of understood where Liam Neeson was coming from.
Was that Liam Neeson? I thought that was the third one with the white Talia al Ghul and white Bane.
They were in both of them, weren't they? That was Tom Hardy.
That was Tom Hardy. Because I quote that all the time. You know the part where he's like,
"Yeah, you
he
know
was
that?
Like, you merely adopted the Dark Hunt. You merely adopted the darkness.
I know. I forget that that's Tom Hardy too, because it doesn't look like him. But I was watching that interview I told you about.
Also, because Bay is supposed to be Hispanic.
Yeah.
He's from Santa Prisca. Like, yeah.
But I was watching that interview with Tom Hardy, and he's like, yeah, they had to film the camera from, like, up, so that way I looked bigger than I am. Because, you know, he's only as tall as I am, which is not tall, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy is really just, like, he's so muscular and compact.
Not even in that movie. He said he was hella overweight because they just had to make him look big.
No, I just mean in general. Because
isn't that crazy?
He looks like a big man.
Yeah,
but that just means he's like, oh, man. So he's really a short king?
Yeah.
Okay, Tom Hardy.
Let me look this up before I'm wrong on air.
You're not scared to be wrong. Tom Hardy is the most confusing celebrity crush I've ever had, though, because he's got those Princess Peach lips.
He's 1 inch taller than me. So he's about my height, yeah.
That's so cute. I love a short king.
Good for him.
As influenced by my co-host, let me pinch your cheeks.
Get away from me. Stop. Okay, anyway, so back to what we were supposed to be talking about. What's another story that was in there that we like?
I really like the Kevin Wada illustrations. Like, that Lady Shiva was so beautiful.
Lady Shiva. She was just a page in there, wasn't she?
Yeah. She's one of my favorite comic book characters. I just love her.
But I remember her being so pretty.
She was. Look, Kevin Wada always understands the assignment. He drew the John Constantine thing from the DC Pride.
Yeah.
I think he did the art for Iceman.
I remember that.
I don't know. He just constantly, he raises the bar every time. The Adam storyline was really cool, where they were, where he went in that man's body and, like, took out his disease. That was cool.
That was a weird one. It took me a second to realize what was happening.
Didn't understand. I didn't know there was an Asian Adam, so I was like.
Yeah, I didn't know about this.
I was like, what are you doing here? Because I don't like the Adam because of. Did I ever tell you why I don't like the Adam? Because it's a stupid reason. It's because, remember, they did that thing where they would, like, the DC Comics did that cartoon where they were, like, freedom fighters, and it had something to do with Nazis. And I don't even think the Adam was in it, but there was a lot. Like, the Adam had a book out at the time. I don't know. But every time I think of the Adam now, I think about Nazis. So I'm like,
I see it. That makes sense, kind of. Not really. It's kind of you just being.
It's convoluted.
But I see at least your train of thought.
Where I was like, well, now every time I think about you, I think about Nazis.
You know what was a good one?
What?
The one with Black Adam. Or not Black Adam. Black Lightning.
Oh, yeah. With Grace Choi?
Yes. That was a good one.
Yeah. I didn't know that Grace was a Bonna McDowell Amazon. I found that out.
That out in the end, too. Whenever you was reading about it.
I just knew she was big.
Yeah. I didn't know what her thing was. So she's like part Amazon. She's part, human,
right? Yeah.
Just regular old human. That's why she's so big and strong. So that whole story was she's going with on a date with what's her name, the daughter.
Isn't
Anissa? Yeah.
Wait, is it Anissa or Jennifer? Which one's Thunder?
She was with Anissa. Okay, so yeah, Grace. Yeah,
Jennifer is Lightning and Anissa is Thunder. But anyway, Grace and Anissa have been dating.
So Grace and Anissa,
the Outsiders, and they were having a family dinner with Black Lightning and Thunder. I'm sorry, Black Lightning and Lightning.
And Thunder.
And Thunder was Thunder
all just there.
It's all of them. They have family.
It's all the Lightnings and the Thunders.
Lightning, Thunder.
And Choi's. Grace Choi. Yeah. That one was. So she's like shows up and she's really nervous because that's, you know,
Black Lightning.
Yeah, you should be nervous to meet him because it's the first time she meets the father. And then she's just eating. What was she eating?
She's
with
eating
her hands.
With her hands.
A nougari, yeah.
And he was like, when I tell you he was not feeling it, first of all, I don't think Black Lightning has, at the beginning, I remember he was not really all that cool with his daughter being a lesbian. So he was like, so you done brought this girl here. She eating with her hands. They're literally at a sushi restaurant. I don't know how I said sushi wrong 3 times and knew exactly what I meant. But he was like, literally, she's not having it. She starts to get antagonistic. He's already on one. And then Anissa is like, y'all, stop. What? And she's like, you're supposed to eat it with your hands. And I was like, you are supposed to eat it with your hands. Because he was like, she eats sushi with her hands. I was like, you're supposed to eat that with your hands. It's a hand food.
And that's like, as they're getting hyped and it's getting crazy and they're about to fight. And if Jennifer's sitting there texting, she goes,
and she's like,
they're about
LOL,
to fight.
My sister's girlfriend and my dad are about to fight.
And then all of a sudden, Mammoth crashes through the wall out of nowhere. Like, no one saw that coming because that was totally fucking random. He just crashes through the wall and tackles Grace Choi.
He's like, hey, Grace. And then she's like, ah, good. This is what I'm good at. And then all of a sudden, the entire Lightning family have on their costumes.
Yeah. Like, they were just wearing it under their outfits. They were ready.
And she remarks on it. She's like, were y'all all wearing? And they're like, yeah, this is what we do as a family.
And then the big fight scene commences. Obviously, Mammoth's sister is there. What is her name? I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah, so Mammoth's sister, Shimmer, is there. And she's like, how dare you attack my brother? And they're like, girl, he literally came crashing through.
Because Grace throws Mammoth back out the window, and then Shimmer shows up, and she's like, bro, you just threw my brother. And she's like, he started it. He ruined my dinner with Black Lightning and Thunder and Lightning.
First of all, you messing up my evening. Because even though we were about to fight, I'm still having dinner with Black Lightning. I'm still going to go home and tell my team about this.
And she was hungry. Because remember, they fight and whatever. Obviously, the heroes win. And she's
literally sitting there. He's really asking her all these rude questions. And she's literally like...
The bitch was hungry. She said she was excited to eat. And then
first of all, and she's like a big woman, so like she needs her
physically
food.
Big, yeah, she's huge.
Do you think all these muscles come from eating lean meats? They don't.
Exactly. So Nissa's like, it's fine, we'll just get takeout on the way home, and then they continue fighting
literally, and their sushi boat had just come, and it was a big pretty, and then Mammoth gonna crash his raggedy ass through the walls. We was like, really?
Yeah, they were mad. She was mad. So they obviously win. And then Black Lightning's like, okay, you know what? You can be with her. I see how well y'all fought together. And she was like, yeah, this is our typical date night. This is what we're good at. And I was like, period. That's how it should be.
Period. Oh, the one story we left out. So apparently in the new Catwoman comics, there's a side character named Shoes who has no memory. And I was curious about that. Like when I heard about it, turns out Shoes is Leanne Harper. Who is Roy and Cheshire's daughter, and she died. That traumatized me because first of all, Roy has been through so much in his life, and I genuinely like Roy. I love Arsenal, so like I was like I could not believe it. I was like, out of everybody whose baby should die, I don't think babies should die, you know, period. I don't think kids should die. I don't want to see kids die in comic books, but the fact that it was Roy's baby who died, I was like, damn,
he does not catch a break.
Like, first...
But he got with Cheshire Cat, so it's kind of...
It's like you win some, lose some.
Yeah, is yeah.
No, she's this. Just Cheshire. So, Cheshire Cat is the daughter.
Oh, my bad.
Her one memory is of a lady in a cat mask saving her and leaving her on the steps of a church. And I was like, bitch, have you known she was alive this whole time? When I tell
That's
you,
not me surprising.
And Jade, we're going to fight. Me and Jade are going to fight.
Cheshire is always doing some shady shit like that, though. Like, always.
First of all, I don't trust no bitch in a cat mask.
Especially one like her, because she's...
What you mean, especially one like her? One like all of them. Name one cat-themed person who was not...
Selena Kyle. Next question.
Who?
I would trust Selena Kyle.
With what? Your wallet?
Not my wallet, but with my life.
She's not gonna kill you, but if you put that wallet on the table, she's taking it.
Oh, for sure. If you put anything on the table, she's taking it. She might take my piece of cake up there. I don't know. I don't trust her.
Exactly.
Not like that. I would trust her with my life.
Felicia Hardy.
She can. Felicia Hardy.
Black Cat.
Trust her with my life.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
She loves to lie.
So? What does that have to do with my life? That's her life. She's lying.
Mm-hmm. She gonna put you in danger.
It's not the worst thing. You made me forget what I was saying, though.
He got to get with Cheshire. Roy's never caught a break.
Black Panther. That's a good cat one.
I don't trust T'Challa either.
I would trust Kitty Pryde.
I only have to pretend. That's just her name.
It's right there.
Oh, I guess Shadow Cat. But she has no cat motif. That's just, I feel so bad
for... She's a dragon, out of all things.
I feel so bad for Kitty Pryde, honestly, because, like, Kitty is just your name. Like, your name is Catherine Pryde. I think now in comics she goes by Kate because she's not a child. But, like, you're stuck with the moniker Shadow Cat that you chose when you were probably, like, 13, 15.
That's a very, like, edgy thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Hellcat.
I was looking at Hellcat. I was like, I would not trust little Patsy over there with nothing. Patsy's shadier than the rest of them, even though she's a hero. Air quotes.
You leave Patsy alone. What I think is so funny is that I honestly do not trust T'Challa, for real. Like, I had to start liking T'Challa because they were making a movie, and I knew that I had to aggressively defend Black Panther, you know, as a good black person. But remember when T'Challa and Storm got a divorce, and he was like, yeah, our marriage has been annulled by the high priest of the Panther religion. And then she said, but T'Challa, you are the high priest of the... I was like, boy, men ain't shit.
I kind of respect a little bit.
Did too.
It's respectable. The only part is that it was to Storm. That's the only problem with
exactly.
It.
And then now him and Storm kind of be floating around each other. He be trying to get that old thing back. I was like, sir, do you not remember when you said the priest of the Panther religion? That's not the exact wording, but he was like, yeah, so you got to go. And she was like, but that's you.
Man, we kind of went off topic a lot.
We did. Now we're talking about Marvel and cat people.
I still trust all the cat people for the most part.
Mm-mm.
I think the one I wouldn't trust, is definitely Patsy Walker. Hellcat wouldn't trust her for shit.
Not a damn thing. I wouldn't trust Cheshire either.
I would. Yeah, no, not Cheshire. Cheshire Cat, maybe. I don't know enough about her. This is one of her first appearances, right?
No, she's in the Catwoman ongoing stories, but she's like a side character, and she goes by Shoes.
Yeah, I haven't read those ones. Because I know that her thing right now is that she is just being trained to be Selena Kyle's protege.
She's going to be Catgirl.
Ew. I don't like that.
And Selena said, she said, I know somebody, and this is what he would say. And then, like, literally there was a bat-shaped bubble around. Around this, and she was like, I put on the mask so that you don't have to.
Yeah, it was.
And then they both burst out laughing because I like the idea that people who know Bruce, they really just be doing the stupid ass Batman voice, like, to make fun of him. Yeah. I would.
He's easy to make fun of, and we don't know him.
First of all, the man.
This is not real.
But, this man, I mean, be wearing a whole ass fetish suit, like, to fight crime.
You can't say Catwoman's not a fetish suit, though. That one's a lot more fetishy.
Yeah, but than at Batman's. Least she's open with hers.
She is very sexual.
This man gets a hard-on from beating up on criminals.
Mood, honestly.
You can't tell me that he doesn't. I'm sorry. Nobody, no normal person is dressed like this to fight crime. He's wearing his fursona.
Ew. This is, you are going to die on this hill, and you're just going to die on this one alone. You're not going to try to put me in this little bubble that you're in. I will not do it. So we accidentally just kind of glazed over the legacies, but I promise that story was really good.
Oh, and Red Arrow, I'm sorry. There's like a cute, weird side story about Red Arrow, and it's
Inigo.
Yeah. Yeah, she's Oliver's half-sister, which I think is really interesting because his son and his sister were both in the story, and his granddaughter.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That one was a really cute one. She was just kind of having a nightmare about all things cute.
Like, when we were, and she was like, I don't do cute. But I think it's so interesting that when we were talking about legacy with Green Lantern Legacy, and this really highlighted the legacy of DC Comics too, because Cassandra Cain, she's the second Batgirl. Katana, like.
Oh, Katana's story was my favorite. We didn't even talk about that.
That's when we got to the Festival of Heroes. Oh. Like, they're having like an Asian Pride celebration.
They were having all people of color celebration. It wasn't just Asian people, was it?
No, it was just Asian people. All the people of color showed up because they know how to eat. Like, Blue Beetle was there. Blue I think Beetle. It was Jaime, not
It was. Cord. And yeah. Then Cyborg was there.
Because he's talking about being from El Paso. And Cyborg was there. And there were these, like, Aryan Brotherhood type dudes who come and they try and intimidate everyone. And it was just pathetic. Like, if you're racist, if you're, like, a white supremacist, you're pathetic. Like, you just look stupid.
And this was bold-faced racism, because they're wearing masks, and they're just walking in, and they start saying racist shit.
Because they have some kind of stone, and Tatsu hit that stone with that sword, with the soul taker, she said, bop!
Took, yeah, all the powers from them, and then they ran away.
Yeah, like the little bitches they are.
Once they lost their powers, they were like, oh, we're not the white supremacists we thought we were. So they only showed up just to bust some shit up, but...
And try and scare people. And then yeah. When I tell you, like, they got beat up by somebody's Asian grandpa.
Yeah, once they lost their powers.
He said, respect your elders.
Well, that's because they called him Four Eyes, and they're like, go back to where you're from. This is America or some shit like that.
Like, we speak English. And then he said something about, like, fried rice or whatever. And people are always, he said, like, fried lice. And I was like, what? I didn't even, when I read this the first time, like, when it came out, I was like, I did not understand.
I didn't get that either.
I think racist people are so fucking dumb that they just say this random thing. I didn't even understand that they were imitating Asian people. I thought they were just being stupid.
I didn't know what that meant. I just walked on past that because I was like, I don't know what that...
I didn't understand it.
They were trying to be like a stereotypical Asian voice.
Like, yeah, whenever people make these stupid-ass little jokes... They think they're so fucking funny, and they're not. It's just pathetic. You look like an idiot.
You did look like an idiot. I didn't even understand it, and I was reading it.
Like, in print. I looked at it, and I was like, what the hell?
That's so dumb. But that's very white supremacist. They're not the smartest people.
It's like, and they think they're so smart. Like, they think, like, just because you have this need to feel superior over other people, like, you think you're so right. You think you're so funny.
I know, it was even the little white guy that was next to him was like, haha, fried rice.
Yeah, and I was like, hilarious. Like, there's nothing funny about this. But what I really liked is that not only did the superheroes come together to defeat these idiots, like, the entire community did. They were like, nope. And I was like, period. And then...
But every story had the same sense of community in it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, every single one of these. It all had a very firm grasp of what... was happening, what the community is, what their culture is. Like, it was, every story was like this. And this one was just kind of like, I don't want to say it was like, I think it was my favorite one, but I don't think it was the best one there. I don't
I think it was a good way to wrap it up.
It was a good way to wrap it up.
It's like when they did the DC, the Pride. They had a parade.
They had a parade, and this one had a
And
festival.
Extraño was there, which is kind of interesting because I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I was like, okay, DC, are we ready to stop being homophobic?
And Superman showed up at the end. Who
Superman,
else showed up?
Batman, and Nubia. Well, Wonder Woman. So they're
That's
like,
what it was. They all showed up for the food.
they
They didn't
were
show up
like,
for the fight.
because Tatsu, I mean, Katana, I guess I could call her, I just feel like we're friends. That's my girl, you know. Tatsu was there, and Cyborg, so Tatsu, Victor, and Jaime, and they're like, oh, is there anything we can give you? And they're like, well. And then
Because it even starts off like Blue Beetle is like, hey, Cyborg, give me like half of your food. And he's like, no. And at the end,
he's like, I gave you my spring roll. And he was like, Tyler, I tell you, Tatsu sliced that bitch in half. She was like, now y'all can share.
and then everybody at the end, whenever they showed up, and then Blue Beetle's like, now we can all share. And I was like, period, Blue Beetle, look
And
at you.
then the raggedy ass DC Trinity. They hopped their happy ass down and they're like,
Yeah,
is there any for us? And they were like, y'all didn't even, what did y'all put in on this?
where
Y'all
were you? Where
didn't
were you? Bruce, you can afford plenty of food. Why are you showing up for free food, cheap ass? You
Exactly.
only show up for the free events. Are you kidding me? You're the richest person.
That's how you stay a millionaire. I learned that from Fast
A
and Furious.
billionaire. He's a
Oh, and another
billionaire.
thing, he shows up another time in the Adam story where he's talking about where they're again where they're talking about community and he's talking about how I think it's Ryan Choi. Ryan Choi is the Adam.
Oh, I don't remember what his name is.
Believe Ryan Choi, and I'm just gonna go with that. Where he's telling him, he's like, hey, whenever this man got sick, the man who he pulled the germ out of, he was like, the whole community rallied together. They were donating money. They were like. They united as a community, and he was like, well, what can he's like, you know, I'm a billionaire, what can we do? What, how can I throw my money at this situation? He was like, well, you do what they did, you know, you start with one person and you help as much as you can.
It was good.
Period.
It was
Like,
community. It was there was so much like family love
it
in
was giving
this.
legacy, it was giving community. Like, so I feel like this. And then, oh, we didn't even talk about the Thai fam story. Okay, so the point is that, like, he's fighting some bitch ass, was it Orange Lantern or a
It
Red
was a
Lantern?
yellow lantern.
Yeah,
It was a Sinestro Corp bitch.
some bitch ass other fake ass lantern was like, nice dress. And I was like, first of all, you're an alien.
Yeah, and then it flashes back to like his gram teaching him
And he was like, he's talking to his
the
boss, and then
significant,
somebody is like, nice dress. And then she's like, she was like, when I came over from Vietnam, people didn't like this shit either. But, you know, I'm proud of my culture, and I want to teach you know, as my grandson, to be proud of your culture too. And like, when you wear your traditional dress, like, this is how you represent us to the world. And I was like, period. Like, she's teaching him good stuff. And then, like, for him to be like a young boy, it was good. So it was really good that he
Oh, yeah,
internalized
because we
this.
didn't even say it because we accidentally just kind of glanced over the legacies or
Green Lantern Legacy, where Ayolande is, she gives him the first suit, and when
it's
him and
way
his
too
friends,
tight.
it doesn't fit. Like, it's a good looking suit, but it doesn't fit.
Wasn't
So
this his suit?
when him and his friends are brainstorming different suits, he chooses something that's more close to Vietnamese traditional dress. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. So it's not just a suit that was chosen for him. This is something that he's picked that represents him, his culture, and his legacy.
And side note, I didn't know that they could just change their suits. I thought you got what you got, and there was nothing else to it.
You thought that, first of all, you thought Guy Gardner was just a
Absolutely. I thought he chose that, or like, yeah, because it matched his personality. You can't
sonnet.
tell me. Kyle
He
Rayner?
said, look, this is the will.
Yeah, if this is what y'all want, if
First
you
of
give
all,
me a nice suit, I'm just gonna accept it. I'm not gonna change
Ayolande has
it.
the best Green
She
Lantern
did.
outfit
She
you can
showed
get.
up. She showed up, showed
Her
out.
and I can't think of the other one that I'm thinking of, but they look like Commander Miranova. So whenever I mentally
You know who
remember
had
who
a
that
good
is.
one? Jessica Cruz. Jessica Cruz always had a good
Well,
one.
have you seen Jessica Cruz's Bombshells? Where she's like a, they all, because you know they're like pinups. I don't know. And I feel like, what's any other thoughts about this?
I don't know. I wish we had more time to talk about legacies because it was really good, and I think everybody should read this. This is my suggestion now, not Christian's. It was a great story. It was very cute. I loved all of the cultural references that happened in this, especially all the references to Vietnam, obviously, where she's from. And there was so much family love and like happiness in there, and it was very traditional. And so I love this story. I think everybody should read this story. And Christian said they're coming out with another one, which is even better. So now's your time to read this one.
Yes, and Green Lantern Alliance will be in stores and on digital on April 5th, 2022. So it'll be called Green Lantern Alliance. And I'm really excited. I'm really hoping.
So you have about 7 months to read this one before the next one comes out.
And I'm really excited to cover that next one, because now that I've gotten you to read this one, I know that we can get a sequel to this episode.
And so, yeah, Minlay, if you're listening, please join us for the next one. We'd love to have you, you know. But how do you feel about the other one that
we read? The Festival of Heroes.
The Festival of Heroes.
I really liked it. I thought it was really good. And I liked the diversity in stories that were being told. I liked how they, you know, legacy, community. I feel like that's what those anthology series are about. Like the Pride one, it was all about community. Like they even had a parade at the end. So.
Oh, also, since I know a lot of people like short stories that are easy to read, both of these are. They're not long stories at all. And they will tell you a very good story. And X amount of pages.
Green Lantern Legacy, because it's for children, so it's more middle grade. And then this is anthology, so most of the stories are only a few pages. And it's really good. So, and it's a good entry point into the DC universe.
There's absolutely no reason not to pick them up and read them. That's what we're saying.
Period.
So,
And I'm really excited for the new Monkey Prince storyline. Well, it's been happening for a while. I just have to get caught up. Listen.
That's how I feel about the Cheshire and Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
Cheshire Cat, same thing. Or socks. Shoes?
Shoes,
whatever. I was excited to read that one because I was like, okay, this is really good. I hadn't heard about this until this story, so.
And I might actually pick up Ken and Kong. You never know. I usually don't like Superman offshoots. Like, when people are like, yeah, I'm the Superman of XYZ, I'd be like, pump the brakes, pal. Are you?
See, look what this anthology series did to us. We already wanted to. See, I'm just saying.
We're stepping outside of our boundaries.
Like, come on, y'all.
None, period.
Anyways.
And anyway, that's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
Thank you for listening and for supporting us. We will see you next week, Wednesday, October 27th, where Chris and I will be watching Venom for the... I've seen Venom. Chris is going to watch it for the first time. Then we're going to watch Venom and Carnage.
Let There Be Carnage
together. We're going to review that one because I loved Venom and I'm really excited for this.
And, you know, Tom Hardy, like all actors, has had gay sex. So I know that he's ready to commit to this Venom project. Hopefully I won't be completely horrified by anything I watch.
No, I'm excited for this one, y'all, so.
You just want to see me suffer like I did through those X-Men movies. No. But anyway, we are available on all major streaming platforms except for that sloppy hoe Pandora. And I do mean that, truly. And if you like the show, please leave us a review.
Truly believe that?
Yes. That sloppy Joe hoe Pandora. Kiss my... Anyway, continue sharing with your friends. It really helps us a lot. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us on Instagram at True Believers Pod and on Twitter at True Believers P. Or you can even email us at onetruebelieverspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, please like do that because we love hearing from you and your suggestions are always good to talk about, you know?
Yeah, and we have been kicking around the idea of starting up a Discord. So
it's even easier to interact.
Yeah, and if we end up doing that, if we do it, it's gonna happen sometime within the next couple weeks. So if we do it this week, the link will be in the description with the notes. And if we do it next week, the link will be in the description with the notes.
Yeah, so tell us what you think about that idea too. We'd love to hear any feedback. So
period. And as you saw with the X-Men episode, we do really take requests. So with that all being said, bye.
Bye.